Andy, you deserve a four flashed in your face.
Boy, I cannot even believe it's hour number four already. My goodness, my energy level has been low, my brother's budget. Everyone's
watching. You tweet us at DougAndWolf987, hashtag Quad Squad.
A little long in the face, if you know what I'm talking about.
With a selfie of you flashing the four, and you get a guaranteed retweet. And the real entertaining thing is, longtime listener Jonathan always wins the battle to get the first retweet.
He's the captain of the Quad Squad.
But today he flashes the four, covering his face. I gotta give him that. He's got his Cardinals hat on, showing pride, but he covers his face, showing embarrassment.
Duly noted.
Well done,
Captain.
Well done. Earlier this morning, Steve Keim, General Manager, Arizona Cardinals. You want a piece of my heart? When you saw the timeout call on the second play of the game, what were you thinking?
Same thing you were.
Boy, that's kind of open-ended right there, right?
Isn't that a scary answer for a general manager to say, I'm thinking what a talk show host is thinking?
What a lot of people were thinking, right? Everybody was thinking the same thing. Are you kidding me?
I hate Thursday night football. It's wrong. It's a bad product, NFL. I realize anytime you can sell something for millions upon millions of dollars, I would do it too, probably. But I wish the owners cared enough about the game itself not to do it. But having said that, it is an equal opportunity for both teams. The scripting of plays has been going on since the 70s, and I know that it started full force in the 80s. That means they spent probably Monday, and I guarantee you Tuesday, they knew what the play was and couldn't get it lined up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is so out of control that actually happened.
So David Johnson and Chase Edmonds are both in the game, and they're both flexed out wide. Three men wide to the right. And the Cardinals look like they're confused. David Johnson confused. So is Chase Edmonds. They're all looking to the sideline, and they have to call a timeout.
Say it, Dave. Say it.
Great start.
That's outstanding. And so now, if you just tuned in this morning, it was announced. Steve Keim joined us this morning, and he just said, I'm not going to talk about anybody's job on the radio. But then 6 minutes later, it was a Tom Pelissero report from NFL Network that said Mike McCoy is out as the offensive coordinator. 8:22, an email from the team that said Byron Leftwich has taken over, and there will be a press conference at 1 o'clock.
Correct.
And then we are now telling you that we are going to be your exclusive home of that press conference. So if you want to hear what Steve Wilks has to say about the future of Mike McCoy, that'll come up today at 1 o'clock in the middle of Bickley and Murata.
So Byron Leftwich, of course, the quarterback coach, is going to be elevated to the offensive coordinator. He's going to become an offensive coordinator. Byron Leftwich is well Basinonians. You should probably know this. I think he's going to be a head coach at some point in time in this league, right? He's got all the tools that you could possibly want. And I also think he's got the knowledge. He's got the acumen to be a very, very good coordinator going forward. He's a leader. He's a born leader. He's a former quarterback. It's what he did, right? It's who he is, basically. And right now, what I want to know is, how is that going to change this offense going forward? How will it change? I think there's going to be a little bit of Bruce Arians. I think we're going to see a lot of Bruce Arians, as a matter of fact. Now, again, is it going to be Bruce Arians' offense? There's no way. There's no way, because Byron Leftwich, I know this for a fact because I've had conversations with Byron about this. He's got bigger plans. B.A., nothing wrong with B.A. I love Bruce Arians, and I loved his offense. And I've said this over and over and over again. It was not a very creative offense. It wasn't. It was a pretty predictable offense as well. And all it did was beat you, for the most part. Now, when he started suffering injuries, and maybe that last year, I think the last season, I think he got too predictable. Let's put it that way. That last season, trying to take a square peg and ram it into a round hole. That's what I thought. But make no mistake about it. Bruce Arians showed up. And when he showed up in 2013, he had the same offense that he had the last year he was here. and he shredded the league with that offense. And, oh, by the way, it was the offense he brought from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So having said that, what can we expect to see? And David Johnson getting the ball, running 22 and 23 double. That's what I think, the power without the pull. Repping a play over and over and over again. The tackle zone as well. Using play action to take some shots down the field.
I got, coming up at 9:30, I got a lot to go over with you about Leftwich and David Johnson. I'm dying to get into that. Now the question is, okay, is this it? Is this the end of the changes? My opinionated answer is yes, within an October context.
Yes.
Because this team is so bad, there's no way to predict what else is going to happen the rest of the way. And that is something that
if the defense doesn't fix the rush defense, the front seven, if it doesn't fix that problem, there's going to be more changes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
And that's what's, you know, so amazing as you sit here of there's no way this can be it. I mean, it's, I can't say it enough, even though you're probably sick of hearing it. It was 35-3. We're not talking about an expansion franchise, even though it's new to the Valley, quote unquote. But it's 1920 is when they are an official NFL team. Now, they start actually in the 1800s. In the late 1800s is where they can draw their roots from. But according to ESPN Stats and Info, it is the worst home first half in the history of the entire organization. Chicago Cardinals at Comiskey Park never played that poorly in the first half. Your St. Louis Cardinals that you were drafted by, Ron Wolfley, never played that bad in the first half.
Easy now.
Congratulations that you never played that bad. And now,
I did.
Through all pounded. Of the years of the Arizona Cardinals, no team, and I don't mind saying this, was more ill-prepared than that one last night. No team was more futile than that one was last night. No players gave less than the players gave last night. I mean, you had the opposing team calling out your manhood, and your offensive coordinator's job was in jeopardy. And that's what you put forth. I mean, Steve Keim's got to be this morning wondering, do I even have the players that I need? The mentality of those human beings. Because you want to talk about the word front runner. How were you able to give so much of who you are under Bruce Arians, and how did you just shut it down under Mike McCoy? But it also becomes, what was Mike McCoy doing? How much did he lose his group of guys that happened?
I do not even know what the answer is to that, Basinonians. I wish that I did have that answer, but I can tell you right now, this offense, it wasn't ready to play, and it did not respond to its offensive coordinator. The players knew that Mike McCoy was on the hot seat coming into the game, and that's how they responded. Think of the first quarter and the futility of the first quarter offensively. The absolute futility and confusion that surrounded this offense. And yet everyone knew that their coordinator's job was on the line. Mm. Is that the paradigm that you want your future franchise quarterback developing in? No.
By the way, do you know who the last quarterback was to throw two pick sixes in the first quarter? Same building.
No.
Colin Kaepernick. In the same building.
Badger was one of those.
Yeah. Coming up next, time for a listeners only meeting.
602-260-9870.
Every time the Cardinals play the next morning, we give you two listeners-only meetings at 7:15 and 9:15. Today's question for 9:15, Mike McCoy is out as the offensive coordinator. Is it enough? Or do we need to just kind of give it some time to breathe? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The listeners only meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Your turn.
602-260-9870.
Listeners only meeting number one was simply, what was that? What the crap happened there? I was just venting. I was just getting it off your chest at 7:15. 9:15, it's a little different. Here's your question today for the listeners-only meeting. And the reason why there's a question is because that's what happens in the players-only meetings. They come up, hey, I got this to say, I got this to say, I got this to say. But it's one theme. And this 9:15 theme is very, woo, hard out. This 9:15 theme is this. Is it enough? Mike McCoy has been relieved of his duties as the offensive coordinator. It is now time for Byron Leftwich to take over. 1 o'clock press conference that you can hear with Bickley and Murata right here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And I ask you now, okay, relax. Let's let Byron Leftwich take over for a while and let's see where we go. Or do you say, man, that's not enough, Arizona Cardinals. It was 45-10. That's not enough. I'm asking. I'm not declaring.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's go to Bob in Mesa. Bob, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Stay patient or it's not enough. Bob, where are you?
Well, I don't think it's enough. I was just thinking, you know, if they played like that, knowing that Mike McCoy's job was on the line, did they play that way, wanting to get him fired? And what would that say about the team?
Boy, I hope, Bobby, I hope you are dead wrong on that once again, because honestly, what does that say about the team? It says you're hosed for the next decade.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Basically, because if you're telling me there was a coordinated, we're going to get you out of here. Oh, my goodness. Have you got problems? You got huge problems if that's happening.
I kind of felt like I saw a team that had checked out, that believed, listen, Mike McCoy's gone, and since he's gone, we can't save him, so why try? Which is still an embarrassment. Mark in Phoenix, good morning, Mark. You're on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Do you want the Cardinals to relax at this point and say, okay, let's just go from here and let's observe? Or do you say, no, we're not done yet. We need to do more.
No, I mean, that offense is bad. It's horrible. The defense is horrible, too, and that's not McCoy's fault. It doesn't make sense. I was painful last night. I wouldn't have been surprised if they brought old Yeller out on the field to die again.
Oh,
it was a nightmare.
Metaphorically speaking, Mark, of course. PETA, Mark, is going to be trying to get your number, I would imagine.
Oh, Mark, I shouldn't laugh, but I did. Joe in Scottsdale.
It was funny.
Good morning, Joe. Do you think the Cardinals need to go further, more acts, or a little more patience?
I think there's going to be more acts, but you can't make it until the end of the season. You got three more games that are winnable, and that's, you know, against Oakland, Seattle, and San Francisco. I think you give Wilkes the rest of the year, you evaluate him on the remaining second half of the schedule, and then you go from there. And, you know, if there's not improvement, it's time to cut bait and move on to someone like a John DeFilippo, who has now, after this year, will have the same amount of experience as Wilkes did this year, coming, you know, 1 year as a coordinator, and go with an offensive mind. But you owe it, and it'll look bad on the organization if you fire the OC, fire the head coach, 8 weeks into the season. Be patient and ride it out, and at the end of the year make the changes.
Not only do you sound like Chris Spielman a little bit, all right, but you're right.
Joe, I got to if you're ever a talk show host, let me tell you, never, ever, ever ask a listener a question, okay? You want to keep things moving, but I got to ask, what do you do for a living, Joe?
I do sports sales.
Okay. The reason why I ask is you're a better talk show host than me, so stay in sales. I don't want to lose my job security. Thank you, Joe. That was a fantastic phone call, because it's keep the acts going.
The truth.
But why do it now? And that's my opinion.
It's the truth.
I don't see how anybody can stand on a soapbox and defend the performance of Steve Wilkes. Right now it was a bad hire. But firing him does so little. Are you going to promote? You become a laughingstock, and why would a good head coach out there say, yes, I want the opportunity to be in that organization? It gives you no benefit. It's just an emotional anger firing, which doesn't help the situation. If they keep losing 45-10, guess what? He will not be the head coach next year.
You got to take the Denver.
So be patient on that.
Take the Denver approach on that right there. Listen, if you tell me that Steve Wilkes is sub-500 next year as head coach, there'll probably be some type of movement right there, but it's way too early to put Steve Wilkes in that situation.
Todd in Phoenix, good morning, Todd. You're on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Do you say stay patient? This is enough change for right now, or do you say keep the act going?
Geez, how do you follow old Yeller?
that was funny.
That was a funny one.
I think it's enough for now for the reasons that have been stated already. And Doug, you kind of touched on it. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's one thing to axe somebody. That's emotional. It's quite another to replace them. Who the heck on the defensive side of the ball, other than the head coach, perhaps, are you going to put in as a defensive coordinator? I think he's got enough on his plate right now as a rookie head coach. He doesn't need that. We got to wait till the end of the season. What I'm more concerned about is the heart of this team. I want to know, Wolf, why no one answered the bad should have been flagged hit on Larry Fitzgerald near the end of the game.
Yeah,
where
how
was
that
was
not
the
flagged?
Answer?
Oh my God!
Yes, yeah. You know what? Honestly, listen. Can I just tell you this, Todd? That there's a lot of players now that they don't police themselves the way that they once did. The game has changed. Yeah. It's one of the big areas where the game has changed a lot.
Good call, Todd.
Especially
thanks.
Over the last 5 or 7. Yeah, I appreciate it, Todd. But I will tell you right now, back in my day, he doesn't get out of that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't get out of that game. Somebody's going to high-low him.
I didn't think the officiating in that game overall was terrible, but that call was bad. Now then, I flipped on, I got home.
I thought he missed him at first.
And
I thought Pecco totally missed Larry Fitzgerald. He actually did hit him.
And then I watched the ASU-Stanford game. And ASU deserved to lose, but oh my gosh, Pac-12. Why is that man still commissioner? Why? Why?
That's so stunning to hear, though.
Boy, the officiating is trash in that conference. Ryan and Chandler, good morning, Ryan. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Do you want more heads to roll, or do you say, relax, we've already done enough with the firing of Mike McCoy?
Good morning, guys. Big fan of you guys' show.
That's nice of you, Ryan.
I think we need to relax a little bit just for right now, pretty much to reiterate what everybody else has been saying. I think it was time for Mike McCoy to go. You had to do something after that embarrassing performance on Thursday. But firing anybody else right now, and really firing Mike McCoy right now, isn't going to bring any sort of immediate change to this football team. We need to relax. We need to figure out what we need to do at the end of the year, evaluate everybody, evaluate Byron Leftwich, and see how things go from there.
Thank you so much for the call, Ryan. The only thing I would say to you is this, my brother, right here. It was so bad what I saw the way the game started. Maybe the worst start I've ever seen from an offense. Literally stuffed on that first play, and then you go ahead, you're called timeout on the second play because you can't get lined up. The ball batted into the air, and suddenly Todd Davis grabs it, and it's a touchdown, and it's 7-0 just like that. The worst start one could imagine for an offense that needed confidence and a team that also needed confidence. And then stop and think about the fact that this team knew that Mike McCoy's job was on the line. And that's how they started.
So David Johnson and Chase Edmonds are both in the game, and they're both flexed out wide. Three men wide to the right. And the Cardinals look like they're confused. David Johnson confused. So is Chase Edmonds. They're all looking to the sideline, and they have to call a timeout. Great start.
I will, once again, I will never, ever let a player off. It is your responsibility to do your job. Understand what it is that you're supposed to do and go out and play. I cannot tell you, Basinonians, how many times I've had a player sit there and he's been told all week long, this is what you do, and guess what happens? The exact same thing happens in the game. He didn't do it in practice, and guess what? He blew it in the game. Whose fault is that? Whose? Yours. The player's. And yet, guess what he'd do? He'd be the first one to point the finger at somebody else and say it was his fault. So I guess what I'm saying is this right here. There can be change, and players will respond to change.
I would say,
maybe to their eternal shame.
I would say that it's my fault as the driver of the Doug and Wolf Show, that at 9:26 we get that outburst, and I didn't get that out of you at 6:30. I apologize.
Starting to wake up.
Coming up next, it is assumed that the number one relationship right now that needs to develop and grow is between Byron Leftwich and Josh Rosen. I'm going to tell you it's not.
No.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A little bit of a theory that I want to get into, and I'm interested to see if Wolf blasts my face off or is in total agreement. That's coming up in 90 seconds here with Doug and Wolf. Good morning.
Ha!
Again, Bickley and Murata, 10 o'clock today.
Oh.
And near the end of their show at 1 o'clock, we'll go live to Cardinals headquarters. Your exclusive home of the Cardinals press conference on radio is 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, in which Steve Wilks will discuss the firing of Mike McCoy. And keep in mind, for those of you that are looking at Michael Bidwill as the owner, that's probably what? You're paying about $2.5 million to have a guy do nothing.
Honestly don't know what the contract entails. I could just tell you, I would imagine it's a lot of money.
Yeah, so that shows you a strong desire to get things right when you're willing to pay somebody to do nothing.
Yep.
And so that's an impressive move by Michael Bidwill. But the other news that you need to know is it could be a little bit worse.
I'm fine. I was just being soft. I'll be okay.
I love the answer by Josh Rosen, but according to friend of the show, Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic, Josh Rosen in a walking boot today and going to get an MRI on the injured toe.
Okay, hopefully there's nothing wrong. Please tell me there's nothing wrong with the toe.
And I got to tell you.
Somebody please.
If there is anything even remotely, even if it's got a bad toe-looking toenail, you've got the bye week coming up after the San Francisco game. It sounds dumb when you say toe. And just if you keep playing on a bad toe, suddenly you have a bad back, you have a bad leg, you have a bad everything. Don't mess with it.
No. Don't mess with it at all. Just tell me it's not busted or broken in any way, shape, or form. He needs every rep he can possibly get.
Especially with the Byron Leftwich offense. I want to see him with Byron Leftwich, but be careful. But having said that, the Byron Leftwich thing, on the surface, I think it is apparent that the most important thing now is the relationship development between Josh Rosen and Byron Leftwich to run this offense. And I understand if you put that as the number one paramount.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to put it at number two. I don't know this. This is all speculation on my part. But when I'm going by body language, attitude, and production all rolled into one, Mike McCoy could not reach David Johnson for whatever reason. And it's irrelevant to sit here and try to figure out whose fault it is. But I really go back to the amount of time I know about for a fact by talking to people, and I speculate about after watching All or Nothing, how much time Carson Palmer spent with David Johnson.
Sure.
I really think if you don't like David Johnson, the person, you're the problem, not David Johnson. But I think it's pretty clear David Johnson learns football differently than a lot of people.
Correct.
And Carson Palmer felt like it's part of my job to make sure my running back gets this. And it was clear that Bruce Arians had no problem calling him out, but made sure that he was involved in relating everything to him. And they deserve a lot of credit for how they developed David Johnson. I kind of feel like Sam Bradford and maybe Mike McCoy were the type of, hey, you do your job, I'll do mine.
So when you say reach, what do you mean by that, though? Reach. Are you talking about emotionally, be able to reach him?
I'm going to talk about
motivate him.
I would say all of the things. More specifically, though,
or teach him. Be able to reach him.
From a teaching standpoint.
See, now that I think I would agree with.
Because I look at what's going on here, and you look at the production of David Johnson, and I think you know the numbers, but just as a reminder, 323 yards rushing giving up by the Denver defense against the Jets, 270 yards rushing given up by the Denver defense against the Rams. 69 yards rushing given up by the Denver defense against the Cardinals.
I thought it was 66.
Yes, there's the argument, well, it got out of hand. How much are you going to run? Well, it actually, as quickly as it got out of hand, they weren't running the ball much in the first quarter either. And I look at it and say, okay, clearly David Johnson could not figure out what was going on. And there's a lot of problems on that O-line, and it's not all Mike McCoy's fault. But when you look at how poor David Johnson's numbers are, that's a reflection. Yes, it's on him, but it's also a reflection on Mike McCoy. And I say, okay, Byron Leftwich, if you want Josh Rosen to succeed, you got to get David Johnson going.
Yep.
And there is your project. I feel like when I watch the body language of David Johnson, he was just a beaten down man. I see a beaten down man, almost like I'm never going to get it. And hey, I accept you're a pro, go do your job. And that's true. But I also see a young guy who doesn't get it, and I don't feel like Mike McCoy was a success in any way of bringing anything out of David Johnson that he should have. And that, to me, is the number one issue for Byron Leftwich. I think you're going to have a natural relationship with Josh Rosen because I think he's going to gravitate to a guy like a Byron Leftwich who's been there, done that as a quarterback.
Yeah.
The key for the whole franchise is to get David Johnson back.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on that. Listen, nothing's more important than developing a franchise quarterback.
That's true.
Nothing is more important than that. But having said that, once again, I think you're right about this, and I think he's uniquely situated to reach David Johnson once again. And that's what you've got to do. That's what coaching is. Coaching is reaching. It's like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You reach a student first. You make that connection with him, and then you teach him. You open him up or her up and teach him. You have to reach this guy before you can actually teach him. And I think that is exactly what Byron Leftwich is going to do with David Johnson. Listen, David Johnson is a guy that learns differently. We all learn different. That's just a fact of life. We all learn differently. David Johnson is a guy that learns by doing. And not only that, you're going to have to create a package for him, and I would be surprised if, in fact, Byron Leftwich does not create that package for him. Because guess what? That's what BA did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the great thing about it. Byron Leftwich was here with Bruce Arians and saw what BA used to reach David Johnson. Guess what? Get ready for 22 and 23 double. Once again, the power without the pull. I mean, David Johnson, I can't tell you how many times, especially when you did it out of bunch personnel, or bunch formation, I should say. I mean, this is how many times we saw David Johnson bounce it to the outside on 22 and 23 double, a play that is designed to be run inside the tackles. We saw him do it over and over and over again. We're going to see that again, and not only that, you're going to see play action shots down the field, plus an expanded offense with maybe some fresh new plays.
And if you're a hardcore football fan, you already know this, but if you're like all Cardinals but don't study everything about football, if you want to get to know who Byron Leftwich is, do the Google search.
Yeah.
Do the Google search of Byron Leftwich 2002.
Yeah.
I went to Ohio University. I still watch Mid-American Conference football. Marshall was in the MAC at the time, and I was still a talk show host in Athens, Ohio. And it is one of the most incredible things you'll ever see, to know that this is the way the teammates feel about Byron Leftwich. 17 points down against Akron, breaks his shin, stays in the game, runs the hurry up, and he can't run. And his linemen pick Byron Leftwich up and run him down the field so he can then do the next play. One of the craziest things you'll see in football. That's who Byron Leftwich is, and that's how people respond to him. So I feel good about this. Join Kevin McCabe at AZ Preps Live tomorrow, 9 to 11. Chick-fil-A off the 17 and the 101 in Deer Valley. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Suns and Coyotes tickets, and more. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Coming up next, Paul Calvisi will join us to give us his thoughts on the Cardinals firing of Mike McCoy. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Just want to tell you, congratulations to me, because I have won about $3.8 million.
Full of it.
Coming up in tonight's Mega Millions drawing.
You wish.
Because I have just donated $10 to the station pool to Jason Veazey, the big voice of Arizona sports. Because Jamie's pool always loses. JV's going to win. Here we go.
You know, there's kids starving, ladies and gentlemen. That was a cheap shot.
I will help them.
That was bad, Douglas. I'll be quiet now.
Two things.
I'm exhausted.
Why does it have to be $1 billion winner take all? Why don't you split that up? You know, at least 10 ways, 100 ways,
right,
at least 1,000 ways. You know, more winners, more better, I say.
Mega Millions is up to $970 million. And I did the math, I think, if I'm basing it on about 100 people here in the building playing in the JV pool, it's going to be about $3.8 million is what I'll walk away with after taxes.
Here's the other question. Which one of Doug or Wolf would be more likely to win the billion and then be broke after 3 years? Which would be, because there's always that guy who wins the Powerball and then he's broke within 3 years.
Is that the first intonation of Ron Wolfley or the second? That's what I'd like to know.
I'm just letting that question dangle.
No, I would be really annoying because I would still come to work with an even worse attitude, Paul. If I
won. That would be intolerable. There's no doubt. That would be a non-starter. You would be working by yourself, Doug. If it got any worse, you would have no coworkers. The rip a coworker that Burnsy had, basically that would be everyone at
that's,
that point.
That's yeah. true. That's yeah. true. You're on the sideline of the Arizona Cardinals game against the Denver Broncos. You saw the Von Millering of the team live with a better vision than any of us did. Could you feel that it was Mike McCoy's last game the whole time you were down there? As it got worse, more specifically?
I could feel the same vibe I got in Seattle 58-0.
Did you really? Yeah.
That this isn't just a loss. There will be a loss of employment by the time this one is done. Mm-hmm. That's what I felt. It was a vibe that, okay, this is going to be the catalyst for change. This loss is someone screaming for help. I mean, now this team needs help. It needs someone to step in on its behalf and do something. Yeah. And as far as Mike McCoy is concerned, there are various reasons here, and you could cite the offensive line. I mean, you could cite the offensive line, which is most definitely not the strength of this offense.
Getting their face kicked in, and they've got to wear that.
Yeah. You could cite all the mental errors by the players. There's no question about that. Inexcusable, incomprehensible on the second play of the game, and you can't figure out the trips formation and who's going
where. Just the mental errors we've seen all season long. Unthinkable to me.
But ultimately, the guy in charge of the offense, because essentially it was outsourced to him, was Mike McCoy, and I think some of the same things happened here that happened in Denver, and primarily the playbook and the play sheet just got a little too complex. This is the sheer volume of plays. From what I understand and the feedback I get, I think Byron Leftwich is going to come in, and I think he's going to streamline this offense. He's going to figure out what the Cardinals do well, and they're going to do it often. Less is going to be more.
Kind of like Bruce Arians.
Yes. And I'm not saying it'll look exactly like BA, but I think there'll definitely be more simplicity to it. There won't be the sheer volume of plays. At times, my understanding is there were plenty of plays installed on a weekly basis that were introduced.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, you're running a lot of plays that you're just sort of learning on the fly, as opposed to running a select few plays that you've been running since April 3rd. So,
well, you got no chance with that.
And look, there's a tendency to look at an opponent and say that, okay, guess what? The LA Rams ripped the Broncos for 150 yards on this play. We're going to install this play. Oh, this play worked in the game before against the Broncos. We're going to install that play. Now, all of a sudden, you have a number of new plays that are brand new to you. Well, the other teams are running those plays, and those plays work, but those teams have been running those plays all year, maybe for 2-3 years, they've been running those plays. Now you're putting those plays into your game plan for the very first time. You can't expect your players to master those plays and execute at the same level an opponent did against the team you're playing that week.
I love this point, but where it really gets to me is, if you have to know as a coach, do I have the players that can handle that?
I see.
Because that's what Mike McCoy is doing with what you're describing, Paul. That's optimum if you have those players, as you've mentioned 900 times before.
Yes.
Bill Belichick can change anything on the fly because he knows he has the players to be able to handle it.
He will not bring you in if you don't handle it.
At what point does Mike McCoy not realize, wait a minute, why did it not work in Denver? Why is it not working here? You clearly didn't have guys that could do that. And then to do it with a rookie center, rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, there were a lot of guys that were actually talking about the fact that Mike McCoy didn't have a philosophy or a dogma, so to speak, right? And that's okay because, once again, Bill Belichick's identity was the fact he was not going to have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be whatever he needed to beat you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That was his identity. But still, having said that, there are a lot of coaches that believe you've got to have an identity. And I will use the tree analogy, ladies and gentlemen. A tree has a stump, and that's what grows out of the ground, right? As we all know, it's got a trunk to it. It's the base. And then branches come off of that belief, whatever that philosophy is. And then guess what brings it to life? That being the leaves. Coaching. So you've got this philosophy, this dogma that everyone can see, everyone knows what it is, they can touch it, they can feel it, and then off of that dogma, that philosophy, you've got branches that just sprawl all the way out. In other words, creativity that comes off of that philosophy, and then what brings it to life? Coaching.
That was deep.
Well, that's the analogy right there. And, you know, you could say that. Bruce Arians. Think of Bruce Arians. Again, I hate to keep bringing Bruce Arians up. I really do. But again, he had a very base, simple trunk. His philosophy was so base and in your face, it was ridiculous. And he had few branches that came off that thing. But man, he brought the leaves alive, did he not, with his coaching and the way that he did it.
Did the offense have an identity under Bruce Arians? Yeah,
yes.
It did. But,
yes.
But at the very least, it had a personality. The personality was Bruce Arians. And I'm not sure the players ever truly connected with Mike McCoy and whether it had a personality. And I think Byron Leftwich will have greater relationships with the players. And if it's still
I agree with that, Paul.
If it's a relationship-based business, I mean, for example, I mean, 90% of the conversation that Josh Rosen has on the sideline is with Byron Leftwich. You know, and especially last night, you just can't help but notice that, you know, McCoy had the headset on and he's buried in the laminated play sheet and there's not a lot of interaction with the players.
I'm going to give him a little bit of a break based on what I think he knew was up.
And the circumstances.
Yeah, there's
no doubt.
But I'm still kind of with you, Paul, because don't you think a player was wondering, will this guy put me in the best position to succeed?
Well, and if you want to...
And he wouldn't be the first. Yeah. I mean, understand, an offensive coordinator's thinking of a lot of things. And a lot of times you'll have the quarterback coach who will follow around the quarterback for the most part and talk to the players a lot.
I'm just saying this offense.
You know what, I need to stop talking.
This offense,
amen,
could really use a leader right now. You got a rookie at quarterback. You got a rookie at center. You know, I mean, Fitz is not that vocal guy. I mean, you need sort of that personality of the offense right now. And to Wolf's analogy, if it's going to grow and blossom, that could be Byron Leftwich, who would turn into the leader of this offense. Will be very vocal and have those relationships. And ultimately, he might become the personality of this offense, while the other guys, especially Josh Rosen, grow into that role.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo! It's a hard out, Paul.
Dramatic pause.
Hard pass. What, are we getting no win or lose?
Well, that started after the second play.
If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show was going to be 35-3 at the end of the first half, but it changed to Wolf talking about trunks and blossoming and trees and flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was rhetorical, Wolf, but if I have to answer it, I mean, win or lose, you're damn straight we still booze this weekend.
Paul,
you're darn tuned. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Honestly, and I mean this, peace and strength, my brothers.
Beer, Martini. Beer Friday.